Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation, 9th the 12th Hour, in Elgin, Texas. Today is December 31, 2024, or it is Shabbat 1, 2028. This is a new moon Sabbath. And lo and behold, on the news, some news item says, the last day of the year, we have a black moon. They said, on the last day of the year. Said that happens very rarely, have a black moon on the last day of the year, December the 31st. They said December 31st. So the last day we have a black moon. But they did say that if there's anything that anybody had to add to what they said about this black moon, send in your comments, and if there's any corrections to be made about this, we'd like to hear from you. So I'd like to get their address and send them a creation calendar. Okay, this is track 8, Mount Zion 11th Hour, V.T. Holler. We're going to continue doing these subjects over and over until we get them ingrained in our mind. And you'll understand why once we get into it. We're on page 28, the title of our sermon is A Kingdom of Peace. So we just recently had this information, but we're going to have it again today on the new moon. But meanwhile, I'm going to read to you a prayer song taken from Psalms 81, and there's a reason for all of that, because this Yahweh's laws are forever. And so we're going to do Psalms 81 for a prayer thought. it says, sing aloud unto the Yahweh, with our strength, make a joyful noise unto the house, unto the Yahweh of the Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast days. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the Yahweh of the Jacob. This he ordained in the Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of the thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, which brought, let's do that again, for I am the Yahshua, the son of the Yahweh, that brought thee out of the land of Egypt with Moses. Moses was on the ground, I was in that cloud. According to Paul, he said that in 1 Corinthians 10:4, for Yahshua was that rock in the cloud that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Okay. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, that my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own harsh lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. For the haters of the Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him, that their time should have endured forever. Let's do that again. Let's read verse 15 all over again. For the haters of the Yahshua should have submitted unto themselves unto him, with their time should they have endured forever. For he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Let us now go to Galatians chapter 1 and continue our prayer thought. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by the Yahshua and Yahweh the Father, who raised him from the dead. Okay. So, if Yahweh the Father don't have the power to raise his son from the dead, then we'll all be dead. Now it says right there in Hebrews, it says in Hebrews 13:20, and I'll go read it to you. It says that, now the Yahweh of the peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yahshua, his son, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It was through the blood that he brought his own son from the dead. Okay? It was through the blood of the everlasting covenant that brought forth his son from the grave. Now, Moses, he told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt over there in Exodus 24:8. When Yahshua brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he told Moses what to do as a priest. It says that, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant. This is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh hath made with you concerning all these words. So now, when Yahshua brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Moses went and got some blood, and he said, now behold the blood of the covenant that Yahshua made with you when you came out of Egypt. He says, that he has enjoined unto you. So Yahshua and Yahweh the Father made a special covenant with Israel when they came out of Egypt. He made a special covenant just with them. And they said, now this is the blood of the covenant. And he sprinkled all the people with it. And almost all, everything in the sanctuary with it. Okay. So, I'll tell you, let's just go ahead and break off now and go right on into our main topic, and that is a kingdom of peace in these last days, I'll call it. That is represented by, let's do that again. For a kingdom of the peace, this is the title of our sermon, Kingdom of the Peace. And it says, this is everlasting kingdom of heaven that Yahweh, the Father, through His Son, sits up here on this earth in these last days in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. And he said, this is that kingdom that prophesied by Daniel in Daniel 2:44-45. It says, in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed left to other people. Because it's called a kingdom of peace, and also the kingdom of heaven, according to Daniel 2:44-45, it's called the everlasting kingdom of heaven. So those of us that are in charge of this kingdom here today, it's an everlasting kingdom of heaven. And those that become sanctified and purified in this kingdom, they live forever. And not only that, but they are rulers also forever over this everlasting kingdom of David. And then Yahshua comes, and he makes a new covenant of peace with this kingdom, and enjoins the blood of the everlasting covenant unto them, that Moses enjoined unto the children of Israel when they came out of Israel. Okay, so this kingdom of peace, this is the everlasting kingdom of heaven. So everybody looking forward to going to heaven one day? Well, keep Yahweh's statutes and judgment, and you'll join the kingdom, heavenly kingdom right here on earth, where it's set up at. And you're in the kingdom here on earth. You're in the heavenly kingdom. That a heaven-like safety and peace shall infuse the kingdom at the time that the Yahweh shall use it as his battle axe with which to smite the nations is evidenced by the following scriptures. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Now this is what's going to be in this kingdom of heaven here on earth, here in the 12th parabolic hour during probationary time here of this earth. This is what's going to happen. I'll just read it to you. I'm going to read it all over again. For the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb in this kingdom of peace that the house of David is to sit up here in this 12th parabolic hour. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Okay. And the cow and the bear shall feed, for their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hold of the cockatrice. Okay. Of the ass, holding the hold of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, for they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:69. When this state of the knowledge and peace prevails in the kingdom of heaven here on this earth here in these last days, in the 12th parabolic hour, in the judgment time of the living, in the harvest time of this earth's history, just before probation closes, then in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse. Now this is when this root of the Jesse is going to show up. And Jesse was the father of David. And we are the antitypical David today. So, Jesse, whoever the father of the prophet was, that's antitypical Jesse. So whoever is the father of the antitypical prophet David, then that's who the antitypical Jesse is. Which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Unto it shall the Gentiles seek. Consequently, it is in the probationary time, that's just exactly what I said, and in that day, for the Yahweh the Father shall set his hand again the second time, okay, to recover the remnant of his people, Isaiah 11:10-11. And in that day, says the Yahweh through his prophet Hosea, in the reiteration of his covenant of the peace, will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow, and I will break the bow, and the sword, and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. Hosea 2:18. For a detailed team, a treatment of Hosea chapters 1 and 2, read our track number 4, The Latest News from Mother. As in the Noah's Ark, the tot, so in the antitypical Ark, the kingdom, noting nothing shall hurt or destroy, for the lion with the wolf and the lamb with the leopard and the calf and the fatling shall live peaceably together, and like the ox all shall feed on the straw. For thus now, as in the Noah's time, Yahweh shall preserve a remnant of the man and a beast out of his whole creation, instead of exterminating every living thing, and then creating them all over again. So it says, for the Noah's Ark, it says, and in that day says the Yahshua through his prophet Hosea, and the reiteration of his covenant of the peace, will I make a covenant for them with all the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth. I will make them to lie down safely. Hosea 2:18. For a detailed treatment of the Hosea chapters 1 and 2, read our tract number 4, the latest news from others. As in the Noah's Ark, the type, so in the antitypical Ark, the kingdom, nothing shall hurt or destroy. For the lion, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the calf, and the fatling shall live peaceably together, and like the ox, all shall feed on the straw. Thus now, as in the Noah's time, Yahweh shall preserve a remnant of the man and beast out of his whole creation for a second time, for he is about to destroy the earth again, but not with water. He's going to destroy it with fire. Okay, so he has to have all the righteous somewhere in a kingdom of peace secured from this burning of the wicked as an antitype of the type. Okay. So it says, instead of exterminating every living thing and then creating them all over again, for the recognizing this fact, the Apostle Paul says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in the hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of the Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and prevaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our body, Romans 8:19-23. All right, this is part 2. We got 37 minutes to go in this hour. We're in track 8. Mount Zion, 11th hour, Victor Harper, on page 29, next to the last paragraph. And he will destroy in this mountain of this kingdom of peace, this mountain that we're in now, in the 12th parabolic hour. It's called the kingdom of peace. So this kingdom of David, this Isaiah, this antitypical David's kingdom, this is called a kingdom of peace in these last days, says Isaiah. For the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations, he will swallow up death and the victory, and the Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all the faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. Now, this is talking about the whole world, for the Yahweh has spoken it. Okay, so now this kingdom that we are that we have entered into since 2002. This everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, is called the kingdom of peace. And Yahweh the Father sent his son down here to take his place sitting upon the throne of David in this kingdom of peace. And Yahshua is the one that ensures that it is the kingdom of peace, because He is here in person, sitting upon the throne of David in this kingdom. And Isaiah saw it in vision, and he says, and he will destroy who? Yeshua, the son of Yahweh. In this mountain is referred to as the kingdom of peace, says Isaiah, the face of the covering cast over all people, cast over all of the people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations. For he will swallow up death in the victory, and the Yahweh, the Father, will wipe away tears from off all the faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken it. So we're at that place. This place, the Yahweh, the Father, calls it the kingdom of peace. That's what Yahshua calls it when he comes and takes his place on this. And it shall be said in that day, in the day in which the Yahweh shall wipe away all the tears from off all of the faces of his people. Lo, this is our Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, for we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua, our Redeemer and a Savior, a Deliverer, for we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Okay, it says that for in this mountain, this is a call, and this kingdom of peace, shall the hand of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, rest, and Moab shall be trodden down. Moab is the descendants of Lot. Lot was a Hebrew that came with Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. These are descendants of him. They did some bad things along the way. As time went on, they did some bad things to Israel, their brethren, and so this is what we're talking about now. Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the downhill, Isaiah 25:7-10. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. Blessed Yahweh, O my soul, exalt David. Let's do that again. Blessed to Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, O my soul, exalt David, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Yahshua, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from thy destruction, who crowneth thee with the loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with the good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalms 103:1-5. For the further study of the subject of the continuation of life, see our tract number 5, final warning, page 63-65, revised edition. and I will strengthen the house of the Judah. So this is the house of David in his last days, and that's who we are. We're this house of David of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, fulfilling the prophecy in Genesis 49:10, for a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until the shallow Yahshua comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Okay, and I will save the house of the Joseph, and I will bring them again for the place in them, for I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, their Savior and Redeemer, and will hear them, and they of the Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through the wine, yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Yahshua, for I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. This is Yahshua talking. He's redeemed them. And they shall increase as they have increased, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me and the far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and give them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of the Gilead and Lebanon, and a place shall not be found for them, and he shall pass through the sea with the affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all of the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of the Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away, and I will strengthen them in the Yahweh, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Yahweh, Zechariah 10:6-12, unfailing assurance that ours is a supreme privilege to let the Yahshua reign over us. That's Luke 19:14. And that's our next subtitle, Let the Yahshua Reign Over Us. For the centuries, Yahshua's followers have prayed, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Now that the time has come for the prayer to be fulfilled, let us live out our prayers, lest any of us be found among the unfaithful class with whom the Yahshua concludes the following parable. For he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country for the receiving for himself a kingdom, and for the returning, and he called unto his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. That's why I said Luke 19:14, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by the trading. So he says, then came the first, saying, Yahweh, thy pound has gained. Then they said, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over the 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Yeshua, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Yeshua, behold, here is thy pound, which I had kept laid up and a napkin, for I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that they stood by, take from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath the 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Yeshua, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not even that he hath, it shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Luke 19:12-27. For the certain nobleman in this parable is Yeshua himself, who soon after his resurrection departed into the heaven of heavens, the far country, to be crowned king of the kings and Yeshua of or Lord of lords. For the far country to be crowned the king of the kings and the lord of the lords of this earth. His 10 servants who are to occupy till his coming represent manifestly the ministry at the closing of the gospel, or the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way, dispensation. And his citizens accordingly represent the laity, the subjects of his kingdom. Together then, his servants and his citizens make up his entire kingdom, a church. As they sent a message after him, saying. Now this directly applied in these last days to Brother Johnson, the angel of the seven candlestick, a letter said at Kermit, Texas, at Mount Gilead, that he was in charge of as a prophet. The third feeding pastor for the Advent, this is where this met its fulfillment. And so when Yahshua changed the guard from Verlus to me, then Verlus, along with the members of the church, joined up with Verlus, and in one concert, they sent a message after Yahshua. When our pastor was over down there in Kermit, Yahshua went back to heaven, and he left me in charge, and they said, "We will not have this man fit and drunken to rule over us, the antithetical David. We're not going to have him." So this applied directly to Kermit, Texas in 2002. Said, "We will not have this man to reign over us, for the only conclusion admissible is that shortly before his return, Yahshua shall inform his citizens that he has taken the reins in his own hand to set up his kingdom, and that they, upon hearing the announcement, shall refuse to submit themselves unto the one through whom he is to rule." Now, I know this met its fulfillment at Kermit, Texas, and starting in 2001 when a voice spoke to me one Sabbath day and said, and I was in this church, just entered into the church at Kermit that afternoon, for the afternoon meeting, or for the noon meeting, and the voice spoke to me and says, "There's going to be a changing of the guard starting at the Passover of 2002, and it's going to culminate at the Atonement of 2002. That guard is going to be changed from Brother Johnson to someone else at that time." So I told my wife first, and then as soon as the sermon was over, I went and told Verlis. Well, he preached the sermon. I said, "There's going to be a change in the guard starting at the Passover next year of 2002. And boy, he immediately perceived that I was the one that's going to take his place. And he immediately rose up to fight against that. And he told everybody in the church, "This getting drunken is not going to take my place and rule over it." That's exactly what they set up to do. And that's exactly what happened. Well, it turned out that way anyway. Because 2002 is long gone. Took a whole year for it to be through. To 2003. And now we separated in 2002, actually. My wife and I and Alan DeLong, one other, we separated from the body. Brother Johnson kept his people, and he wrote me a letter of excommunication, and the two people with me, and he says we had the death sentence. Well, I turned the death sentence back upon his own head, and I said, "You're the one with the death sentence, because you've made this lie. Why, you didn't have to give up your kingdom." And I said, "You're the one that will have to die, because you've lied." And sure enough, he died in 2012. His wife died in 2016. His son died in 2023, his associate pastor. And his son's wife died in 2023. So those are two families that were the rulers of the kingdom of Gilead. They're all in their graves today. Okay. So it says, observe, that in the message which they sent after him, his servants did not say, "We will not have you, Yahshua, to reign over us," but rather, "We will not have this man whom you have appointed to reign over us." What they objected to was the Yahshua's reigning over them through someone else. Clearly then, before he is coronated and prior unto his return to reckon with his servants, he appoints a man to reign over them in his stead. Whereupon they say unto him by their attitude and stand toward his message, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Although this man, as we know, as we now see, is the antithetical David, the simple means, the visible king. Let's read this again. "Thus when the Yahshua returns and reckons with his servants, he rewards the faithful ones in the proportion as they have increased the principal with which they started, condemns those who have had no burden to work for the souls and for the advancing of his kingdom, and who have been content to let him do without their services. For this unfaithfulness, he takes from them the pound, light of the truth, with which he had entrusted them, showing thereby that all are to be held responsible for the every ray of light, for every lost moment, for every neglected opportunity. And those who will not have him thus reign over them shall at his return be slain before him, as were those who rebelled against the Yahweh's government in the olden time. For the Jews at the Yahshua's first advent, misunderstanding his mission, because they were blind as to what their message, the ceremonial service taught, and as to what the prophets wrote concerning him, misconstrued his doctrine of the kingdom, dearly coveting the fruition of the long-held hope of the kingdom. For they were upset by the Messiah's strange teaching, and were ready to stone him to death rather than to have their errors exposed before the multitude, whom they kept in the darkness. So it is with the church today. She is as blind to the message of the hour and to the truth of the Messiah's kingdom as were the Jews in their day. And as a message knocks at her door with the warnings, her answer is, "Go thy way, I am rich and increased with the goods, and have need of the nothing." Though she is wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. For the church of the Messiah's day was determined to have the kingdom set up then, when not all was yet ready for it. For the church of today is determined not to have it now, when the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4:17. When the time is fully come, the Jews wanted back the kingdom which they had lost, a kingdom of sin and sinners. They were eager to be freed from the Roman bondage only, instead of but from sin and sinners. Also, consequently, when the Yahshua said, "My kingdom is not of this world," John 18:36, they would not have it so, whereas the church today, blindly ignoring the scriptures, which plainly declare that the Yahweh is now to set up his spotless kingdom and is to free his people not from the Babylonian bondage only, but from sin and sinners, also is determined to put it off until after the millennium. Such is the ironic perversity of the natural heart, even in the very face of the fact that in every way she is seen on the very verge of the eternity. In Her Purified State is our next subtitle. And one of his grandest prophecies, Isaiah projects in the lineaments of the unmistakable of the great antitypical counterpart of the Exodus movement, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16. As the Passover and the slaughter of the firstborn, the first fruits, who had not the blood on the doorpost, released Elohim's ancient people from the bondage of the Egypt, so shall the antitypical Passover, Ezekiel 9:4, Isaiah 66:16, free the first fruits, the 144,000, his firstborn now, from the bondage of sin and sinners today. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of the judgment, and by the spirit of the burning, and the Yahshua will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion. This is the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, the house of David, the new Jerusalem, and upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by the day, and the shining of a flaming fire by the night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Isaiah 4:3-6. For a more detailed exposition of the Exodus movement and the type and antitype, read the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 64-111. In the light of the present truth concerning the kingdom, the following prophecy, along with the numerous other relevant prophecies, is self-interpreting. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall be no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down on thy throne, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the man-wrought bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Yahshua, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yahshua, thy people went down aforetime into the Egypt, to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without the cause. Now therefore, what I have here, saith the Yahshua, that my people is taken away for naught, for they that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Yahshua. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. Okay, so how is it blasphemed? They say that Yahshua is my Savior, and He saves me by me just believing in His name. No, the Scriptures don't teach that. It says you lay a hold of Him and be born again and be baptized of the water and the blood and keep his commandments that are mentioned in Leviticus 23:1-44, the laws of the sanctuary, the judgments and the statutes. You do that, and then He becomes your Savior by His blood, through His blood. Therefore, my people shall know my name. So He says, His people, those that are called by His name, they're going to know His name. And that name has been introduced to us as the branch today. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am He that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. This purified kingdom that Yahshua has set up, that is His place of His feet. This is His feet in the form of the antipical Elijah David with the kingdom of David. That's the feet of Yahshua that bringeth good tidings of the good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Yahshua reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice. Together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Yahshua shall bring again the Mount Zion. This time it's the antipical house of David, the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, that's mentioned there in Obadiah. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Yahshua hath comforted His people. For He hath redeemed Jerusalem, for the Yahshua hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yahshua through His blood of the everlasting covenant that is taught there in the Hebrews chapter 10, and I know chapters 9, 10, 11, and 12, and the whole book of Hebrews. Depart you, go you out from sin, touch no unclean thing, go you out of the midst of her, be you clean that bear the vessels of the Yahshua, for he shall not go out, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by the flight, for the Yahshua will go before you, and the Yahshua of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee for his vision, or his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations, for the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Isaiah 52:1-15. As seeing ourselves, on the brink of eternity, we are impelled to join with the elder James White in his enraptured exclamation, "Oh glory, hallelujah! My poor heart is set on the fire for the kingdom. While I dwell on this sweet prospect before the true believer, if we hold fast but a few days more, the dark shades of the night will vanish before the glory of the preparatory scenes of the coming of the Son of Man." That was printed in the Word of the Little Flock, page 8 in 1847. Only those who have a part in this antipical Exodus movement will be privileged to sing the song of the Moses and the Lamb and to share in the promises of, and our next subtitle is, The Covenant and the Antitype. It says, "Behold, the days come, says the Yahshua, that I will make a new covenant with the house of the Israel and with the house of the Judah, not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Yahshua. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of the Israel. After those days, saith the Yahshua, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Jeremiah 31:31-34. For the old covenant, our agreement between the Yahweh and his people, was based upon the promises of both parties to witness. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, for the observing and for the doing all of his commandments that I have commanded thee this day, that the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will set thee on the high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, thy Redeemer, blessed and Savior. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy labor body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. For the Yahweh shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. For the Yahshua shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, giveth thee. For the Yahshua shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Yahshua, That's John 15:10. That's Yahshua's commandments mentioned there. Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and walk in his ways. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Yahweh has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Yahweh, Deuteronomy 28:1-9, Exodus 19:8. This brings in verse 36 hour contact at the 11th hour corner, number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message, and more or less close now.